Hey guys, you're listening to Kinda Dating, the comedy dating podcast where I, your host Natasha Chandel, and some cool guests break down the dating world and try to figure out why the fuck do we all have commitment issues? Today's topic is the bad boy and the bad girl. What's the fucking appeal? Let's figure it out. Hello, hello. Welcome back. You're listening to Kinda Dating. Hey, guys, follow us on socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Kinda Dating. And we've started a new thing where during the episode or that week of the episode on Facebook and Twitter, you can find articles that are related to the topic. So if we talk about insecurity or today, bad boys, bad girls, through the week, you'll be able to find some supplemental material that'll hopefully help you out and think about things in a different way. But we also love and appreciate your reviews. And here's one from Mavesis. He says, he or she, because I can't tell from that name, says, I love all the topics and guests that she brings about, and I love her energy. I've recently become single, so this helped me a lot in knowing this new dating world. Thank you so much. That means a lot to us to know that at least we're benefiting and like kind of helping a little bit. And it is crazy out there, but it's also fun. So make sure you enjoy yourself and remember that every date teaches you something about yourself. So good luck. You got this, Maeve sis. Thank you for the review, and please keep them coming. Let's get into this. Today's topic is bad boy and bad girls, and our guest is kind of like a living expert, not because he's a bad boy, but he plays one. He's actor Amin El-Gamal. Did I say it correctly? Yes. Soon-to-be villain on the highly anticipated Prison Break, premiering on Fox on April 4th. And he can also be seen on The Librarians on TNT, which is past, but you can catch him on that. Amin, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. It feels like a first date.
Yay! It kind of is. I'm going to know everything about you. You are so sinister in the show.
Yeah.
But you're coming out when? Episode 2, you said.
Yeah, my character starts in episode 2.
Yeah, which is crazy because you're like, Mason and I were both saying off camera that you're like the sweetest person ever.
I've been described as like a golden girl in a baby giraffe's body.
That's the best description ever.
Or like a mix between Taylor Swift and Bullwinkle.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
If they were like, if their father was like, Bin Laden. I could keep going.
These are the best descriptions. Who are? I mean, can those people label me? Mine would just be like one of the Alvin and the Chipmunks. But yeah, you are not a badass, but you play one. I want to know your relationship status though before we start.
I'm single as fuck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
As fuck.
As fuck.
As fuck.
AF.
But by choice? Or just like, shit's not happening?
I haven't really been actively, to be honest, I come from like an immigrant family and we are all, our work ethic is crazy. So if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it like 300%.
Totally.
So
and this is why we need immigrants in this country.
Yes. No ban, no wall. But also, that's why I was on Tinder for a while and like other apps. And then I had to stop like 2 years ago because I was too invested in it. I got too like perfectionist about it and it was making me crazy and like competitive and like and then I would see people in real life
what
and
were you
try
getting
to, like,
competitive about like you were asking your friends like how many swipes did you get today
they used to have I don't know if Tinder still has this but they had kind of like a stories thing and anyone you matched with could see it
really
I didn't know so that. Like one guy would post like a thirsty thing and I'd be like I could be thirstier. It was awful. And then I was like, this is not me. I don't
That's
do this.
That's funny. Yeah, I learned a long time ago. For me, like, I tell all my friends to go online. I'm like, do those apps, whatever, because you need to know if it's part of your personality. But for me, I don't have the attention span, and I'm very, 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 very picky. So, like, if I know that if somebody's, like, just keep it real. You know, half of that is like I'm just basing it off of a picture. And if I know that something about that person is going to annoy me, that's annoyed me off of the picture. And I'm like, all right, I just know that that's going to annoy me.
Well, it's interesting.
And I move on.
Because it's like, yeah, what you do when you go on like Tinder, for instance, is you get not only what the person looks like if they're being somewhat honest, but how they choose to present themselves, which tells you a lot about the person.
Totally. And then I know, like, I'm not good at small talk and having multiple conversations, not because it's just time consuming and I don't have time.
That's
I'm running everywhere.
I know.
Through the day. I can't continue multiple conversations.
There are important things I need to achieve in my life.
Yeah.
I can't be, like, spending an extra half hour on the toilet, like, swiping.
Like, my friends have, like, 8 conversations going at once. One of my girlfriends literally swipes right to everybody, and then she has, like, 20-something conversations.
I'm not hating on it. My cousin just got married to somebody I met online. I think.
Oh, no, my brother
did,
too.
I heard stats, 40 or 50% of people now that get married. Probably more.
Yeah.
You'd probably know this more than I would. So I'm not knocking it. I just realized I didn't know how to do it in a healthy way, and maybe I needed to be more present in the material world.
Yeah.
And maybe see if I could stumble into romance
that
way.
Let's be more present in the material world as we go into a script playing another character.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We're talking about Prison Break.
Yeah.
So my character is called Cyclops. And speaking of dating, he's someone who was bullied in school. Like, girls never liked him. And to be honest, I mean, that was something I could sort of relate to. I was bullied. I was kind of overweight when I was younger.
Really?
My parents are from Egypt. And in our culture, you just don't date. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, it's
not good.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's like Indians.
Yeah. I think it's similar. Yeah. So.
I'm sorry you were bullied.
Oh,
fuck those people.
Pity me.
No, it's not about pity.
Because I have a Muslim background and I was effeminate and fat and I wore Tevas. I like love Tevas and socks for some reason. And I thought I was Judy Garland.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I feel like it would be hard to imagine
that I would not be bullied.
That was in like liberal Bay Area. Yeah. There's like footage of me coming into preschool with like pearls.
That's
like
amazing.
I was like, my name is Cinderella. And everyone's saying what their name is.
I love it.
And then, like, I, like, point at this guy across the room, and I'm like, that's my prince. Anyway,
it's so awkward.
All the parents were
it.
Like, this is awful. But that's all to say that I had a lot of experience to pull from, a lot of, like, pain, a delayed adolescence, partially because I came out, you know, later than the average person who doesn't have to come out, who's straight. And because I was 18.
Okay.
And because I was straight. And because my parents were immigrants and I wasn't allowed to date. So I had this sort of like strange kind of yearning that I was able to tap into. Mm-hmm. And I remember at one point I wrote down every like person I liked and how it ended, which was always bad. Every crush I had, or like every time I was bullied, to prepare for this part. I can't say a huge amount more about the character himself, but he
comes from a tortured past.
He comes from a tortured past, which I think fuels some of the horrible things he does or tries to do to the main characters. And he kind of skirts with being a stereotype. And I worked really hard to do that sort of interior work to try to see if I can make him a human being. And instead of casting someone who's like bulky and like hyper masculine, they cast someone like me, which I think made the story become more about like toxic masculinity and having to prove yourself, and having that need to have to prove yourself makes you act out or makes you violent or makes you abusive to women.
Well, I mean, and that's, you know, because you probably came in there and made the strong choice and embraced who you were.
Yeah,
and
that's always
made
a good place to start.
Yeah, and that
actor.
Made them look at the role and the entire villain in a completely different way.
I think so. I think also something interesting about Prison Break is there's all the characters kind of do something, you know, the good guys do bad things, the bad guys do good things. It's kind of the morality gets kind of blurred. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of complex and interesting.
Which is one of the reasons that show was always, you know, it was really popular the first time around. And
because of that sort of grittiness that it brought to TV, which I think TV is now doing a lot more of.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what else I can share. But there are a lot of fights. There's lots of action. I had to work really hard to be convincing in some of them. I have as you could probably guess, my character's name is Cyclops. So there's a prosthetic that's somewhere on my face. Prosthetic makeup.
Guess where? It's not that one-eyed monster. Zing. Or is it exactly? Okay, but you did the inner work, and you got to delve into the mind of a bad boy. And I think you brought up an interesting point that I think we can talk about right off the top, which is, like, before we get into, like, why are we even attracted to these guys? It's almost like, why are they even bad?
Right. Well, when you're an actor and you're playing a villain, you can't judge the character.
Right.
You know, otherwise it becomes
a cartoon.
In real
life, though, you can. I fucking judge those
judge
assholes
as
all the
much.
Time.
I'm an INFJ, so I judge a lot.
I'm an INTJ.
Oh, that's close. What's the
it's
difference?
It's real close. Well, you're a
feeling,
feeler and
oh.
I'm a thinker. Yeah.
I am a feeler, unfortunately.
So you probably just tell people how you...
And then cry and feel
bad
about it.
And me, I'm like, let me think about this 80 times and let me tell you... in a very different way.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Like, talking about the differences of the two, it actually makes sense.
I have a lot of anxiety because I'm a thinker.
Yeah. And I have a lot of it. I have anxiety because I just have too many feelings. I don't know what to do with them. But going back to making a villain, you have to be non-judgmental. You know, like, there's labels on my character that I'm not going to say because I don't want to spoil it, but that would shut someone off immediately. This person is the this. This person is part of this group.
Yeah.
This person observes this thing. That they're, you know, evil. That's done. I'm done with them. But you can't think like that as an actor. As an actor, you have to be like, this is a human, and I'm a human, and how could I be in this situation? How could I come to do something like this?
But that's also sort of has always been the appeal of the bad boy or the bad girl in dating and in real life, right? Is like you always end up finding some tragic story about them.
And you want to fix them.
And you want to fix them. And you're like, no, love will make you a better person again. Right?
Yeah. And the reason why I'm like having like a seizure here is because I can totally relate to this. It's like,
oh, yeah.
But like,
I can't fix
myself, but I'm going to try to fix you for some reason.
Yeah.
That's like the savior complex.
Oh, you know? Always.
I think it's like
that's
a hallmark of like
yeah.
codependency, right?
Totally.
Because you're like, this person doesn't necessarily want to be saved, but you want to save them. And then you want them to be thankful for it.
Yeah.
But they're just like, fuck off. I never asked for any of this. And they're awful.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. And that's like half of the episodes we've been doing lately are on all of that stuff.
Why do we do that?
Yeah. And
an interesting question.
But I think it does at the end of the day come down to and I'm literally the poster child for this, for poster child of dating a ton of bad boys for a long time. Mm. Not all of them. I feel like my longest relationships were with great guys. Mm. But, you know, I've talked about in the show often, classic bad boy I dated when I moved to New York. I was young. I didn't have anybody. He sold me in a fucking dream. And, you know, find out like a month and a half in. One, he moved himself in basically into my apartment four days after we started dating. And I was so like naive little Canadian, didn't know what to do. And found out he had a baby mother and two kids. Mm. He was married to some chick for her green card. And then, but he was like telling everybody he wanted to marry me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're still married to somebody else.
What a mess.
Cheating on me with
person.
Like everybody and their mother at the end. I counted like eight people.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it was crazy. But he like wouldn't leave. Every time I broke up with him, he would like beg me back and more, you know? It would be like always more. And to a point that I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And I just like lost my mind because I just was so tortured by it. But for a long time, and it's just like funny because in those bright little moments, he would tell me things like, I've never, like, nobody's ever been this good to me. Nobody's ever, you know, treated me in this way. And then I'd be like, well, then maybe all he needs is a little love, you know, and like that classic kind of trap you get into.
Yeah. I think there's
they're always like kind of they're always just like slightly mysterious and edgy and rough around the edges.
And sociopathic.
Probably. Yeah.
They don't pay attention to you.
So sociopathic.
As much as you want them to. So when they do, it feels like gold. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a cat.
I found that a lot of them have some form of an addiction. Like they're an addict on some level.
Hmm. Codependency is
yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. And but it's not always just like alcohol, though I've dated that guy too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like deeper, sometimes it's gambling, sometimes it's sex, sometimes mm-hmm. it's whatever. Some like deep vice. I think for a lot of guys, they tend to date girls that have like alcohol or drug abuse problems. That tends to be their version of the bad girl, you know?
Yeah, I just wonder why. Because I've been in the situation where I was dating two people, and one was clearly like the right choice on paper, but then the other one was a disaster. But I was like, but we have so much fun.
Exactly.
We have so much fun.
It.
I feel like I'm alive, you know?
Exactly. It's the exciting part.
But yeah, but I guess it's excitement is one of the reasons.
Yeah. Or you think it's excitement.
You think it's excitement, and then you realize it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's that element of like having this kind of dangerous, edgy, mm-hmm. fun. There's an element of like my parents, you know, might have not loved me enough.
Yeah.
And this person's not loving me enough. And I'm used to that emotional pattern.
Completely.
So
which
it feels
is definitely,
comfortable. It feels like home.
Which
you know?
Is definitely the thing we're going to get to after. But what you said is also correct. So according to artofmanliness.com, this is what they said of why sometimes people... this is what happens when you feel like you're in love with somebody. And it's like very passion. You know? It says, using MRI machines, researchers at the University College London found that feelings of love led to a suppression of activity in the areas of the brain controlling critical thought. It seems that once we get close to a person, the brain decides the need to assess their character and personality is the brain decides the need to assess their character and personality is reduced. Not only does romantic love suppress our critical thinking, but feel-good chemicals and hormones like oxytocin and dopamine cloud our judgment even more. Love truly gives us a drug-like high, and it feels so good that we simply ignore the red flags waving right before us. If by chance you do take notice of a gal's negative behavior or attitude, you're likely to minimize it, writing it off as a cute quirk or telling yourself, oh, it's not that bad. Besides, maybe I can be the guy to help her improve.
This got very real.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like science, too, that we just like
it's
shut
so
down.
It's so unromantic.
It is. Love isn't romantic.
I know.
You'll learn that.
It's chemicals.
You're still a baby.
It's chemicals.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm of like that old school, like now Oprah frame of thought of like, love isn't a feeling, guys. It's a verb. Love is an action.
Sure. Like living your life with like intentionally with love, you know?
Yeah.
Like as opposed to like fear is the opposite of love thing.
I've just learned, especially from dating these types of guys, like specifically the bad boys, is a lot of them are talkers. They're not doers. You'll notice that people
so
who are like real
like spin
bad
doctors,
boys, yeah,
spin.
And bad girls yeah. are never the ones to actually like do things for you, but they'll tell you they're doing it. It's like they'll sit here in front of you and be like, I'm making you dinner right now,
it's
and
like
it's
they,
beautiful,
it's like,
but they're
like,
just sitting in front of you on the couch and you're like, what?
It's like they each have like a Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Speaking for them
yes,
at all
alternative
times.
Facts. It's yeah. all alternative facts. Exactly that. And they're sitting there and they're like, I love you, but there's like another girl sucking his dick right in front of you. It's like that. It's like, no, but I really, but you're the one I want to be with.
But what's going on
with
them?
This isn't love. Exactly.
Like, I get it. Okay. Like, I, you know, might want to be hurt mm-hmm. for some sick reason. Or I just want to have fun and feel like I'm, you know, living my life and enjoying my youth to the fullest or whatever.
Yeah.
But why do they, if they can have so many different people or hurt you and they don't care, why, but there's still that thing that's wanting you to be in their orbit, or
well,
you
of course,
to be,
because
or
at the truth,
whatever that
at
is.
The core of it, even a narcissist has low self esteem. Even a sociopath,
right.
Unless you're a true sociopath. Sociopaths on a DSM actually have no remorse. So for them, they could be raised in literally, and they're a very small population of genuine sociopaths.
Yeah,
those are usually serial killers.
They, or Ted Cruz.
Yeah, right. But like, they literally have no remorse. Narcissists are the other large population of
like
these people
president.
Who are,
yeah.
Yes, exactly, grandiose thoughts.
Has feelings
or
and needs. Yeah,
exactly. They've gone through shit. Like, Trump is like classic. He was bullied. He's made fun of clearly because he gets so upset with his hair and his hand comments and things like that. That I'm just like, yeah, I the orange skin. Like, he's probably been mocked so much
so
in his life.
So most of these bad boys are narcissists.
That's what, in my experience,
sense.
Is what I've learned.
Yeah.
And from the people I dated that at least ended up having a weird form of a sex addiction and or were the ones like doing the cheating stuff, were ones, and this is not for everybody, just some of the people I dated, literally were abused when they were younger. And I think it stunted their growth and their intimacy.
Self-confidence.
But here was my thing. I what happened is...
My stomach is growling a lot. I'm just hungry for this conversation.
I know, yes.
So just please carry on. Hungry for love. Carry on, carry on.
Good cover. I feel like even though bad things happen to a lot of us, it's not an excuse to continue to hurt other people.
Yes. This is something I've been saying to a lot of friends, because I'm that person that you call if you're my friend when you have issues. Just because you understand it doesn't mean it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you can explain the behavior or be sympathetic with it doesn't make it acceptable in any way. And you don't necessarily have to fix it.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, it's one thing to love somebody and be like, hey, I love you. I feel sorry for the pain you're going through. But unless you help yourself, like go to therapy, do the work that you have to do, it's not my responsibility to fix you. And that was a hard thing that I had to learn, but to walk away from, because I'm totally a codependent, and I was. I hope that I'm not now. I've worked really hard, and I'm trying to be like, no, you need help. Get away from me.
Wow, everyone lapses.
I am not the one to help you.
There's a balance. You want to be a good
friend. No, I don't want to help you at all. But... Nobody. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
We do this podcast every week. I don't mind
people.
Helping. Yeah, I don't mind helping my friends. I don't want to help a lover. I tell guys I date all the time. I'm like, I'm not your therapist. I'm not your mom. I'm not your, I mean, unless we're best friends, I'm not your best friend. I'm your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Treat me like that. You know, don't lay your shit on me. And, you know, I'm happy to talk out some stuff with you, but I'm not here to fix you.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to fix me.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't want anybody to be like, this is what you need. No.
Yeah.
That's why I go to my therapist.
Yeah. I do too. I go to therapy.
Yeah. It's very good
for
you.
I skip it this week. So
I'm sorry.
Prickly at the moment. But,
but another interesting thing that, you know, when I was reading about this topic, they were saying is you have better sex with the bad boy or the bad girl.
Oh, please.
Thank you. I actually don't think that's true. The most boring sex I've had is
they're usually really bad, the narcissists.
Yeah.
I mean, not always.
What Mason wants to say.
It's a chemical thing.
Oh, right. It's not about their performance.
Right. It's,
yes.
It's, you're drawn to the feeling of it's so wrong and naughty.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
okay.
That's the extra.
And that's the thing. Like,
the
yes.
The fantasy narrative that's in your head about, you know.
Yeah. But the actual sex itself, for me, has never been good.
Really,
but
depends.
I agree with that, that like the moments before, I'm like, yes. And then when I'm like, what the fuck was that?
I mean, one of the best, I never thought I would say this on a podcast, one of the best like lays that I've had was a guy who like was not particularly attractive.
Yeah.
And like had Tourette's, actually.
So what? Yeah.
And which is fine. Obviously.
Tourette's isn't, I feel like it's just such a weirdly stigmatized.
Like
most people are very
high.
Yeah, most people are very functioning.
He's very functioning.
Yes, it's like a
but
weird.
But I felt like he didn't get a lot of attention necessarily, and he just was so good.
Oh, yeah.
He was so attentive and so like kind and so like skilled.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of times the bad guy, bad boy or whatever, is just kind of, for whatever magnet that pulls people to him really easily, he can just kind of like, you know, stumble in the dark and and satisfy himself and not really pay attention to you as much.
Yeah, I feel like the best experiences I've had were with people that were really good, just like good people.
Yeah, I think so too.
They took time and like you said, you know, it felt like love and not that, because it's really like the bad boy experiences for me were always the moments before were the best, not the moments
like
during.
You said all
or
talk,
after
talk and then no follow through.
No follow
through. It's like a really good ad campaign.
Yeah. One I got really upset that my friends all know about wouldn't sleep with me. And he was like the one bad boy that just would not sleep with me. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm
like,
this
is the only reason
this is the point of you.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, there is no other point of you.
I feel like...
And at one point I was like, I'm tapping out because this is silly now.
I feel like I'm going back to my metaphor about marketing. Because marketing, in order for it to work, you have to sort of hate yourself on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be like, oh, I hate my hair, but oh, the shampoo is going to make my hair better. So I'm going to buy this because that's what they're telling me. So I feel like it's similar with the bad boys.
Yeah.
He has this narrative and this thing. And unless you don't have enough self-love and enough feeling of adequate self-worth, you might fall into it feeling like you need it, you know?
Have you ever dated somebody who's like... Like a classic, maybe, bad boy? Maybe not a classic. You've had better judgment than me.
No, yes, I've gone on like dates. I haven't, for extended periods of time, but
Mace,
yeah.
Mace, have you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And I've cried.
Bad girls.
Bad girls, yes. Yeah.
Clarification.
I have clearly done this several times.
It's a specialty.
It's a real problem. But... I feel like there are three stages of like when you date these people. And I don't think you need to have been in the experience necessarily.
I'm curious to hear the stages. No. Maybe I'll recognize them.
But phase one I call is like selling you on the dream. And they are the most charming people. They tell you all the right things. They literally, they promise you like the world and back. And for like a good couple weeks... They're like all about you, like, but it's literally for a couple.
Yeah,
weeks.
You're right. There's that few weeks where it's like
they are just obsessed.
But then,
with
you. Then it's
yes,
they withdraw a little bit, and you're like,
yes, and that's exactly what phase two is.
That was a funny noise. Yeah,
phase two is I got you where I want you, and that's when they start pulling the rug, just tugging.
Why does anyone even date?
It's like a tug.
Being
like
single is great compared to this.
And then, and then they start just giving you enough where they'll tell you, like, I, you know, Bruce Lee, I talk about on the show. He was a smart, this guy, I did, everybody does that. I've dated this guy who's a martial arts guy. And so I call him Bruce Lee.
Oh, I thought you did it actually. We would have been kind of young.
Yeah. I'm not that old. Jeez.
Yeah.
But
but
Bruce Lee used to give me just enough for so long where he would like either plan a date and make me think it was happening for a long time and then back out last second. And I'm like, what the fuck? But then he'd be like the next day. But here's the thing. He would never plan it the next day. He'd just hit me up last second and be like, hey, what are you doing? Come meet me here. And it would like feel like it was almost making up for it. But
well,
he planned
power
like...
play because when you don't have, you know, when you want something, it's on their schedule. And you have to be flexible to whatever. It's kind of like acting.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm struggling with myself being like, I don't have my own schedule. You tell me what it is the day before. But yeah, that's definitely, that makes it clear who has the power.
And then they tell you things like they love you, but never follow through. Like I said, they always end up talking, but they never actually follow through it with action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the phase where you start rationalizing the behavior, where like crazy things start happening, weird things start happening, and you start telling all your friends and they're like, that's not normal. And you're like, well, no, I mean, he did this because he's going through this in his life right now. And, like, it makes it really hard to, like, blah, 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 and da, 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 and this happened, and, you know, your friends are like, no, it's not the right. Even girls, you know, when you're dating a bad girl, you're like, look, I get it. She got fucked over by some other dude, and, like, now she's like this, and this is why she acts this way, or, you know, she came from this family, that's why she ends up, she just needs, like, a drink at night. That's all she needs. She just needs a drink at night, and sometimes she goes too far, and blah, blah. You just
what
start...
What makes us rationalize? Is it our need for this person? Is it our need...
I think it's both. It's
to
like...
To have a person?
Yeah. Like... So it's all of that, I think. Sometimes, like... We don't want to be alone. I know in the times that I ended up being with two real bad narcissists, two real bad boys, I would say, were the times that I felt I was alone. And I had just moved to a new city when I moved to New York and when I moved to L.A.
Wow.
Or two times I literally... And when I moved to L.A., I thought I was much stronger. I was like, I wouldn't fall into that trap again because I was so young when that happened the first time. And somehow I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Yes!
Same thing.
He had a completely different face. And I was like, good God.
Yeah.
And it was. It took me a while to be like, oh, and here I am caught again. But I was making excuses because in that particular situation, his dad... just died of cancer like a month into us dating. So like for a while, obviously I was like, okay, he's fucked
tough.
Up. Like things
especially
are hard.
When you know
But then after 6 months, I was like, okay, bro, like
this isn't,
you're not even treating me like a person now. Yeah. So that's not okay.
That's not good.
And then there's phase three. And it's the realization. It's not me. It's really you. You're the problem. Yep. You are the problem. And I feel like it usually, it doesn't happen because, at least when you're dating the bad boy, bad girl, by choice, it always happens because they fucked up.
Yes.
You caught them cheating.
Yeah.
You found out that she's been dating five other guys.
Oof.
You know, they do something illegal or irrational, like they fucking blow up in your face or they, whatever. Like it's always some...
Yeah.
Ridiculous
steal
thing happens
you.
That, yeah, exactly. Or they steal from your mom, you know? And then you're like, shit, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And whoa, that person is the problem.
Yeah.
But it's almost never by choice.
Yeah.
And
you're lucky when you get to that phase, I have to say.
Oh, no. I tell people.
Some people, like, they break up or they get hurt by that person. The person leaves them. And then it takes them months or years to be like, oh, wait, it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's this person who is kind of sick.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
When
every time I found out that I was cheated on, I thanked God. I was like, thank you for letting me find out. It sucks. Mm-hmm. It hurts. But I'm like, you must really like me.
Now I know.
To find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I almost never had to look. Mm-hmm. It was always just like some random shit. And I'm like, you are such an idiot. Like, I didn't even have to. You're just dumb. And I'm just like, well, God likes me.
Yeah.
So, and I try to tell people that, like, other people who date bad boys and bad girls, like, when you find out, take it as, like, a blessing.
It's a gift. I mean, any knowledge, like, in that situation, however hurtful, is always a gift.
Yeah. You're so hungry. I feel like I need to feed you.
But I ate dinner, and my stomach is just having, like, some sort of symphony.
No, it's because it's so excited to be here right now.
Yeah, it's so excited.
It's like in knots and
here.
It's in rumbles.
It's rumbling.
What kind of qualities do bad boys and girls have? Like, we talked about some. They're all talk.
Yeah, I think...
Like, what are some of the qualities of Cyclops?
Well, you might... Cyclops. He sort of tries to take what he wants, even though it's very clear that maybe his advances have been declined.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
in the one situation that's the most applicable to our conversation. But he decides it's his right and he wants to take it.
Yeah.
I think that's a quality of a sort of toxic brand of masculinity that's sort of like, I deserve this. This is mine. This is what I am promised.
And sort of like, will do anything to get it. Like play any game necessary to get what he or she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He has a very, he's very determined. Mm-hmm. He seems maybe like he has confidence, but it's just sort of you know, psychotic.
Yes.
So it seems he exudes something, but you can tell he's really broken and insecure, but he has certain, like, he commits to things very strongly.
That's the quality I think that people are attracted to the most with these kinds of people is the confidence, but it's not confidence. It's like what you said.
Yeah.
It comes off as confidence, but it's really like a psychosis.
Psychosis, or it's cocaine.
All of which
who knows
are,
what?
Yeah, none of that's good.
Nope.
And then, so tell me with Cyclops how it is for you. But I think people sort of drop hints about who they are pretty early on.
Yeah, I mean, my character is not particularly subtle.
Exactly.
But no one is in love with my character, to be fair. Like,
no,
nobody
but no,
likes
nobody's
me.
Really in love with a bad boy, bad girl either.
That's true. That's true. But I, some of the hints, stomach is still growling. Aww. I think some of the hints are, maybe not listening.
Yeah.
You know, if you can tell, you know, if someone's talking, you can tell the person isn't really
engaged. Yeah. They don't ask you questions.
Yeah. It's about them or like serving
that selfish
them.
Selfish quality. Yeah.
I mean, it's not always like that with those kind of people, but I think that's one of them.
Yeah.
I think if they're a little bit irrational or make kind of crazy, impulsive decisions, at least in my character's case, that's something that I do. Or if they're like violent or act out, which is something my character does a lot of.
I'm curious, like, I don't want you to reveal too much, but does he talk about his behavior ever?
There's a little bit of like exposition that you get sort of early on about a little bit about his past in relation to one of the other characters, which you get a texture of. And I sort of took that and ran. I took that and was like, he was definitely bullied and nobody likes him and he has no friends and he's trying to prove himself. And the only way he, you know, these things are sort of exploding into this really bad criminal violent behavior. That's about
because
all I can
I,
say. Because he trans in the season, really, my role is definitely very much in the mold of like an action show. So there's some plot, you know, it's Prison Break. It's not like Moonlight. So so there is character development, but then a lot of it becomes like I'm driven by other things.
Yeah.
And it becomes lots of chases and fights and obstacles to the main character's success, you know, that archetype.
The reason I asked that is because I think, which is funny because in as writers, we would do this. As a writer, I would make the character, you know, we tend to reveal things about ourselves in our life through exposition, like you said. And people actually do that in real life, too.
Huh.
And when you date people, they tend to tell you, I always say within the first week of dating somebody, if you're like, you know, maybe consistently seeing them, you'll learn most about them in like that first week. You'll know from the, because people tend to drop hints and we don't listen. Like girls who are high maintenance always say that they're drama queens. Like they'll tell you who they are, but you don't want to listen.
Yeah.
And I always use a classic example of the guy I dated who was like, I'm divorced and I have rage. And in my head I go, that's so cute. He's so honest.
He's so self-aware.
Yeah, I was like, he's so honest. I've never dated somebody who's so honest. He must just be fine. And, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, because
it does strike you as honesty, but you're not really listening. But also, sometimes I've noticed when I used to date when I was younger, I had a hard time even getting information from the person because I was so worried about myself and being liked. And when you let go of that as you mature, then you begin to be able to see people for who they are.
But, you know, there is a part of dating which is like, you know, you're not supposed to drop all the information right away. Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially not the negative things about you. So it shows you that there's no critical thinking going on and it's about themselves.
And there's no boundaries.
Exactly. And it's
boundaries
almost like they're trying to warn you and is like, hey, this is, I'm telling you what I am. Oh, well, and then they can justify it at the end. It's like, well, I told you.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of surprises with the Cyclops character. Mm-hmm. But for sure, he like wears, you know, in the one... not really date-like, but in his mind, maybe romantic situation, but it's not at all. He does go straight to the, like, you know, to the history with this person and how it made him feel and his issues and stuff like that. And I think that is totally a red flag.
Yeah. And what we said also is that they don't, you know, hanging out is always at their schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They almost never make a plan.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, actually, going back to what we were just talking about on first dates, they also often, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like semi-racist or like casually misogynistic or racist people reveal that on the first date often in like a joke. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've noticed that recently. I was thinking about it because I was like, you know, I got to know this person better and they were truly racist or misogynistic or whatever. And I should have known that because they made that joke and I was trying to be polite,
Completely.
You know, like,
yep.
Like people do show, that's such a good point that if you learn how to get out of your own way enough to look at the person in front of you on the first date, you will see who they are. I mean,
you
have to be careful, but most, you will see clues that you could easily miss just because you're worried about being liked.
Yeah.
You know?
But I always think if you listen to people, they really reveal who they are.
Yeah, if you give them the chance. Yeah. People love talking about themselves when you ask.
And listen, I do it too. I drop hints all the time right off the top. I'm like, hey, so I'm just like speaking from experience. And, you know, again, you'll always learn about people's behavior pretty early and it's a matter of not justifying it. Like, I was with somebody who, you know, mind you, loved my life, but alcoholic. And, you know, I broke up and we're with each other for many years. And, the very first time I met him, the first time all of our then friends said to me a story about, like, he was my high school love. Mm-hmm. And people told me about him getting overly drunk on a field trip that he wasn't even supposed to be drinking at and just started puking and got sent to, you know, got suspended from whatever. And I remember being like, and it's high school. Yeah. He was a senior, whatever. It was like, kind of lauded. People were like, cool, man, like, whatever. So I just like laughed about it. And
I mean, you didn't know.
Then you start going like, wait, you really do drink a lot. Oh, is this not stopping? And then towards the end, I was like, dude, I don't want to be with somebody who's going to die.
Yeah.
At this age. You know what I mean? Because you're drinking so much.
Of the people in my life, if I look back on it, who I've been like, I am in love with this person, which is not rare. There's like a handful. I noticed that they all had these sort of narcissistic qualities, but they also were like very talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think like talent is something that, and even when I didn't know their work, I could just tell like this is a talented person.
True,
and they always were like driven and very talented.
Yeah.
And something about that would make me like excuse some of their behavior. Mm-hmm. So I just was like, I just want to be not like a star fucker, you know,
at all.
But you're just like, I just want to bask in this person's creative energy, even though it's fueled by a lot of self-hate. Or drugs, or sort of confusion.
Yeah.
In all the cases.
I will say, as a girl, the two that I dated that were like hardcore bad boys, they were just fucking hot. They were really, really, really hot.
Nothing wrong with
and
that.
And I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because you're like, I'm
and
so
now
like,
whenever I like see them,
person,
like see people that are like, I think are really hot, I really like run the other way. I'm like, because you probably have. I don't know.
There are exceptions.
No, I know. But like, you know, I'm talking
but
like the really
hot
guys I'm like
you,
bumping into in Vegas. I'm like, no, there's no reason to be pursuing this. It's off I go, off you go.
Well, Vegas.
Exactly. But, you know, and then this is LA. Come on.
I mean, not different, really.
Yeah.
But I think like, I think, again, also, if you're crazy attracted to someone, it's really hard to step away and see the them for who they are, but that makes me sad.
That's why then, with like, Bruce Lee, I was like, can we just sleep together?
Yeah.
And I was like, why won't you sleep?
That's
I was
the
like,
whole
that's
point
all
of you.
I want.
But I want to believe and have hope that you can be very attracted to someone and also have a healthy relationship where you see them for who they are.
Yeah,
I don't want to be super cynical.
Yeah. No. Again, I was with somebody for a long time that I was very attracted to and didn't care about.
No, I think you're right most of the time, but I just don't want to believe that that's
always
the case, because I guess I have some hope.
Totally. We're coming back. We're going to go to a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how to get out of these kinds of relationships with bad boys and bad girls. And let's reveal a little bit of truth about these guys. But after this message. Hey, we're back. You're listening to Kinda Dating. I'm Natasha Chandel, here with my guest, Amin El Gamal, and we're talking bad boys and bad girls. You know, these guys make you feel like shit at the end, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like just feeling like shit. It's not like a regular level of, hey, I feel bad. This relationship ended in sad. Like they make you feel fucking worthless.
Worthless. Yeah.
Yep. And helpless and tortured. And like, I was so broken after.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
not
I
enough
with somebody
that they get the attention they need from you. Yeah. They have to like destroy you.
Yeah, it's literally that. It's like a destruction.
Yeah.
It took me a long time. It took me about 2 years to come back to even start feeling emotions. And I'm also an actor. And you could imagine how hard that was for me to go into things and like literally not be able to feel because it was so overwhelming for me
it's
that
so
I couldn't
when,
even do it anymore.
When you're in places like that and you're expected to, you know, emote or feel connected or want to share yourself, which is what acting is, really.
Yeah.
You know, if you suffer with depression or if you're going through a depression because of a breakup or you're feeling... you know, not having, feeling like you have any self-worth, then it gets really, it's hard to act.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
That was like the thing that I got very angry at him about, my crazy ex, was because I became so numb. Like literally, I remember sitting one day and being like, oh, that's it. And I just couldn't feel anymore. And I like literally felt it just like lift off of me. And I was like, oh, and it's over.
Yeah.
And
you
like,
lose access to yourself
completely.
In a certain way, in a creative way.
It was
way,
just such a, it was like, I think it was self-defense, you know, to try to, but it took me so long to, one, then just be able to like come back to life, even be able to laugh and like experience things properly like a human. And then years to have a relationship and be able to be like cool about things. Like I was just so, I was such a bitch and just so unemotional. Like people used to literally tell me,
well,
they
life
were
is
like,
easier that way, you think it is.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. They used to literally be like, you're such an unemotional bitch. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Cause I just like literally had no words for things.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, this isn't working.
God, that's the worst. I'm sorry. You.
No, no. I mean, look, but it also helped me a lot. I don't wish it on anybody, so don't go through that, guys, to try to learn things about yourself. but it happened to me, and so I tried to use it as an experience to learn. But, I mean, I realized a lot, too, that it came from self-esteem issues, codependency, things like that. And definitely what you talked about, which was taking time to look within and be like, I remember when with my crazy ex, I came out, I was like, whoa, why did that seem so normal for me?
Yeah.
Because my friends used to tell me at the end of it, they were like, you're so smart. Like, how did you end up in that? And I was like, I don't know. And then I realized like, shit, it felt normal. And it was normal because of things I had gone through in my childhood that
it
were like
familiar.
A certain level. Yes, the chaos felt normal.
Mm-hmm.
Not the exact kind of chaos,
no, of
but
course.
Living in a state of chaos didn't feel weird to me.
Yeah, it felt natural.
And then when I came out of it, I was like, whoa, that was so just, you know, weighed me down so much. I couldn't, I wasn't myself. It just stripped me of my joy.
But like you said before, I mean, you're always sort of moving forward, even when it feels like you're moving back. I mean, you're always learning from, like you said, you learn from all these terrible, like the years that may have, that you characterize as like sort of being robbed from you, but you were still processing and learning things. And, you know, I don't think,
I don't think
we're ever worse for having certain experiences, even if they're like terrible.
I agree,
like there's always something that we learn. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I say. Like, I can't go back in time, so I don't, you know, I accept that it happened and it's fine.
Yeah.
I just still don't wish it on anybody. I'm like, don't choose
that
path.
Of course, of course.
Don't make that your thing to learn.
Well, you're sharing your wisdom and being like,
you know?
I learned it the hard way, so
don't do it. And I try to explain the gravity of what it does to people, you know.
Yeah.
And I was also really young at it, you know, on top of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, if sometimes I think when I... if I grew older, it would be easier to get out of. To be honest, Bruce Lee was when I was a bit older, and that was also hard. At one point, I remember being on my knees, just bawling my eyes out, and being like, "I can't get up, I can't get up,
it
and I don't want
you.
To."
It just gets you. You get your surprise, you know,
and
you
that
think,
was,
and that's the thing. But you're a human being, and you know.
But that's what these people.
That's what it means to be alive.
Yeah, but for some reason, in those moments with these people, it feels.
Yeah, like,
you know,
everything is...
Yeah, Like, okay.
Nothing has meaning anymore. Yeah.
But if you do start feeling like this, you should get out of the relationship. It's not healthy because I have learned that healthy relationships always uplift. Mm-hmm. Always. Always.
I mean, as a single person always. Who's like generally happy to be single, I'm always kind of like,
yes.
Why put all the energy in being in a relationship unless, yeah, like you said, it's uplifting or there's some... Yeah. Mutual benefit for these people to be together, or yes. there's something that improves your life. Otherwise, like, God, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of negotiations and time and money
and, it took
and
me,
energy.
You know, because I think people who listen to this too, the best advice I ever got actually was from my business mentor, who was like, who are you asking for advice? And I was like, my friends. He's like, are they single? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, stop getting advice from single people. And I was like, oh, yeah. Right. In a way, you know, because like sometimes you sit there with your friends and you're sitting and talking and like nobody knows the answer. But I say, like, look at good relationships around you. We all have them in our lives, right? Of people who are in good relationships. Mm-hmm. It took me living with a couple that have a baby for a year that she's like a big sister to me. And it was when I moved to LA and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, and I was with them
too.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, these guys are really, like, even if they fought, they never raised their voice at each other. It was never, like, a thing. They would be laughing the next second. They were always supportive. They were always trying to make it work. I saw them get annoyed, but they were never annoyed.
Yeah, they're never, like, you know,
holding
coming
until
at
the
each
next
other.
Day. Yeah. Nothing. Like, nothing like that. And I was like,
it is
holy
eye-opening
shit,
when you
it's
see
real.
That.
And
you're
they
like,
were together for, like, 11
exist.
Years.
Yeah.
Before they got married. So I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, you guys.
You're so right. Because we grow up with one model, obviously, our parents or whoever's or adults that are coupled or not.
Yeah.
And that's like sort of our example.
Yes.
So, and if, you know, sometimes that's positive and sometimes it's not positive.
And that's the thing. Like, I want, you know, whenever people listen, I'm like, that relationship you're with that bad boy or bad girl, like, trust me, it's not supposed to be that chaotic.
No.
Like, when you're with somebody and you love them, it's like, yeah, you go through issues. But all my friends who are in, like, happy marriages always tell me, they're like, it's not that hard.
No.
And I'm like, really? Are you sure it's not that hard? They're like, no, really, it's not that
hard. There's a lot of unhappy marriages that we see, too. So we get confused.
Exactly. So if you're out, get the fuck out. And, you know, I think the big thing also was for me to realize, like, I wasn't helpless in the process and that I did have power. Because, you mentioned it a few times. It's like, that was a power move. That was a power move. Mm-hmm. And that is what it is. It's like putting you down, like, you know, how they describe it, like putting a thumb, or like you're holding somebody down with a thumb. Like, it's kind of that feeling. And you start getting power back by doing little things for yourself that show you, no, wait, the power, like, I control this situation. Mm-hmm. And the biggest power is when you break up with that person to never have contact with them again.
Yes, that's very important.
Yeah, because sometimes you think, well, like, we'll just be friends after. And it's really like...
I can't do that. I mean, especially in a toxic sort of... I mean, maybe there are situations where that's fine. But in a, you know, if you're really seeing like a bad boy or a bad girl and it is a toxic relationship and the person does seem to be narcissistic, they will find their weird way to sneak back to you. Because a lot of people like this, like, they like to have like their posse of people that they've dated around them.
And they love the chase.
And they love the attention. Yeah. And they want to have as many people adoring them as possible. So they're
going
to keep you in there.
Like they won.
Yeah.
And every time they get you back, they're like, yes.
And it will be, might click back into your old habits, and then it's a whole other cycle.
It always
to get
happens
out of.
Back in the old habits.
So I think you have to be strong in that way.
And you have to realize, like, it's okay to say, like, I said it to myself, I'm like, oh, this person's my weakness. Because I knew, like, for those two, I was so sexually attracted to them. I was like, oh, no, you're my weakness, and I can't have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
And so I was like, when I finally cut it off, I was like, done, you know. And Bruce Lee hits me up all the time.
Of course he
does. All the time. I've never responded to him in like over a year and a half. I know, right? Bruce, take it easy.
Wow, he's still doing it.
Over a year and a half, he's had two girlfriends, has one now. He still hits me up. I'm like, dog, I don't. And I now I'm like, this is how I get my power back is by never responding and by never acknowledging his existence and being like, I'm not going to let
and
you
And time win. Sometimes helps you see it for what it is.
Totally.
Which is a gift, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Those people, so like, yeah, they can be
point,
really...
You can really assess with them, assess them as, like, what they really are.
But again, I, you know, also important to remind people to take responsibility for their own actions and, like, for all of us who are with these people to figure out why we're with them so that, you know, you can tackle that part of you. We're saying, like, well, the other person needs fixing and needs to handle it themselves. Yep. Like, we need to also.
Yeah, you do that work. I don't know if that's going into therapy or that's just sort of living your life and being aware.
Yeah.
Or if that's, like, talking things through with friends who are really good friends who can help you see what's going on with you. I also noticed, like, in my late 20s going into, I'm 30, so going into 30, I all of a sudden was, like, clicked. And it was, like, all of a sudden I was, like, oh. I sort of see things a little bit more rationally and clearly, you know, than I did in my 20s. I mean, I still make mistakes.
It is. It's so true.
But the Saturn returns or whatever. Yeah. I don't really know what that means. But it's, like, but I think it's sort of true that there is this, this is the word that everyone kept telling me when I turned 30. Healthy detachment.
Yeah.
That was the word.
That's
detachment.
Actually smart, yeah.
That was the term. So, like, you see your life and you're can deal with the issues of it, but not it doesn't pull you down to a spiral of, like, need and depression and anxiety. You can look at it and be like, I'm detached from this, and so now I can actually have a rational mind and make a decision that is smart for me. And I think it's true with dating, too. You're not really detached when you're like, I want this person to like me.
Exactly.
They're going to like me. And then you know, that kind of person is like a magnet for a narcissist or vice versa.
And they can fucking smell you. I don't know what it is.
They can smell your need to be liked.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with love.
Yeah. and I do, you know, I also want to give people hope that that habit can change. And it's like a matter of really being aware every time. Like when I started telling myself I did not want to be with a bad boy anymore. And here are the reasons why. Like I wrote an article about this because my guy friends always told me, they're like, no, you know, you girls say that, but nice guys always finish last. And I'm like, that's not true. I'm sorry. That's like a fucking myth that people tell you because at the end of the day, there are few people that actually end up with the bad boy. And those people, I'm sorry, are lost people. They don't want to do the work
it's
themselves.
Like the
most
who
of
kinda
us
kind of like peak in high school, you know, where they're like, this is the most beautiful you know, football player or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like everything. And then you're like, you know, fast forward like 10 years and you're like, oh.
Most of us date them and we go through some shit and then we're like, oh, no. I don't actually. No, I'm good
this
now.
Isn't
I'm good.
Work.
Like, and you know, you end up going the other way.
Yeah.
And I think it was also like for me a shifting of my view of what the bad boy was, which was it's again it's an article I wrote. I'll put it on our Facebook this week. And I said that they're a snore. They're really boring. Even though we think that they're mysterious and they're edgy, but when you break it down, they're so one note.
Yeah.
They don't have anything else. Like, they don't have deep conversations with you. They're not, they're just very like, and it's just like, okay. All right, well, and even if they feel like they're having deep conversation, if you notice it, they're having deep conversation about the exact same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And it's just like, oh, well, then you start realizing that's like the, you know, Bruce Lee is such a classic example of that. If you were to look at his Instagram, he literally posts the same pictures with different girls that he dates, like the exact same captions.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, fuck. Like, do girls ever just scroll down
his
feed?
He's like an algorithm.
Yeah.
He's like not
just
a person.
Bad algorithm.
Oh.
One, an ineffective one. But girls... I'm like, you just look down. You're dating the guy. Look down his feed. I would be so annoyed if somebody posted the exact same picture with the exact same caption.
Oof.
I'd be like, get a fucking life.
Oof.
But they're also selfish. And this is why bad boys will finish last, because they don't know how to think about anybody else. And you're smart out there, guys. You're smart.
Mm-hmm.
We are smart people. We know we want people to think about us as well. Mm-hmm. And when you start realizing that, you're like, oh, no, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Also that like attracts like, you know, and they, at the end of the day, you know, maybe it's some for a short period of time, you'll be pulled down to their level. But when you start realizing like, oh, wait, I'm not this way, you'll just naturally feel like
I think when you start adjusting your habits or like moving over, like, you know, where your values are and what you think, like, all of a sudden you're like, now I'm doing like coke every weekend, or I'm like always, like, you know, I'm waking baking because I love this guy, you know. It's just, that's just a bad idea. If you have to adjust certain things and make compromises in that way, then it's just not, I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, compromise is necessary, obviously, for relationships. But if you're compromising things that are just making your life worse or putting you in harm's way or not in line with who you are, then those are all red flags for sure.
But like, if we even think about like what we're even breaking down, they're clearly boring. Mm-hmm. They're not good in bed. they are fucking selfish and have bad habits. There's really no good reason to be with them.
Yeah.
Besides feeding your ego and wanting to be right about
either wanting to save someone or feeling like.
But even the saving someone really comes down to your own ego, right? It's like, I saved someone.
Yeah,
that's that savior
complex.
And like, it's like, I helped this person. Look how great I am.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes you just got to let go that you're not.
I'm such a good person.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. But in that meantime, what's the biggest thing is when you're not, you know, when you're focusing on the bad boy or the bad girl, you're missing the good guy.
Right. The person who actually wants to connect with you and to like celebrate you for who you are and
treat you well.
Treat you, treat you
and have real fun and good sex with.
Yes, please. All of that.
We all need that. Glamour Mag said this about the do's and don'ts of dating a bad boy. Felt like this.
What about just don'ts?
Yeah, I know. That's what, I was reading some articles when I was researching this, and a whole bunch were actually like, "Oh, four reasons you actually should date a bad boy." I was like, "Stop it! I can't believe fucking we're running out of editorial ideas that much that they're just giving you the alternative. Don't do it."
Yeah, sometimes I feel like these stories are designed just to keep women down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there were actually things of like why you should date the bad girl too. But thankfully, there were less. But yes, there were more for girls to guys.
It depends how you define bad, I guess.
No, it's just,
I mean, we've defined it the way
bad.
We have, but like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Let's keep it real. Bad is bad. But here's what Glamour Mag says about the do's and don'ts of dating a bad boy. You won't take the nice boys for granted once you've seen the... Once you've seen into the soul of a few bad boys.
Oh, Lord.
Nice isn't boring. Bad boys are boring because you know exactly what he'll do. Cheat, not call you, hurt you, etc. There are no surprises, but good guys can surprise you in good ways. Besides, you're most likely attracted to a bad boy's confidence, independence, or rebellious, adventurous spirit. Traits nice guys have too.
This is so true. Snaps.
Right?
And it's a lot of what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Are you a...
I wrote
this
that.
Whole time, I was like, kidding. Are you a bad boy? Are you a good boy? You seem like a good boy.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like a... Yeah. Well, I
and
mean...
And you're single.
And I'm single. No, I feel like that's sort of like subjective to assess your own. But I know I am very caring about the person that I'm with, even to the point when I think it should end, I say it. I don't ghost.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people like to hear that. Sometimes they don't. But I'm very honest. Like, I usually say, like, a quality I really like about the person.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just say, you know, like, I didn't really feel chemistry or I'm not really interested. And a lot of times it's true. I'm not, like I said before, unless embarking on a relationship... First of all, I have to feel like I have the space to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't always feel like I have the capacity to bring that on. But if I do, I'm not really going to embark on all that work unless the person is someone that really uplifts me and vice versa.
Yeah.
And where it feels, you know, there's a bit of like something sort of effortless in a way about it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's sort of like I don't feel stigmatized by being single. A lot of people are trying to set me up, and I'm sort of just like, I'm fine, boo. No one believes me when I say that.
I know.
Like, I'm actually fine.
Yeah, I am the same. I felt the same way when I'm single.
Yeah.
I'm like really happy being single.
Yeah, I think.
I like never really search for it.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best mentality, because then you're beginning to like get to know yourself and giving yourself room to grow instead of...
And glow.
To glow, like my skin.
Because we do glow when we're happy.
Yeah, or when you're pregnant. What was I saying? Oh, you can begin to...
Grow and...
Give yourself the love that you need to be sort of ready to have a relationship with someone else. You know, that's not about psychosis and that it's about actually the other person.
Like real love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It exists. Are you ready for your five questions?
Yes. Let me sit up.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. I'm so ready.
This is five questions. It's our dating version of the Bernard Pivot questionnaire made famous on Inside the Actor Studio. Here are your five questions.
I'm so ready.
What is the first thing you notice about a potential partner?
Their eyes, and not like just the color of their eyes, but if they maintain eye contact or not, and like how they do that.
I've been making eye contact.
Yeah, are they making eye contact? Are they doing it and then darting away, looking down? Yeah. Can they not make eye contact at all?
Yeah.
That's probably the first thing I notice. Yeah,
that's good. I remove eye contact when I'm like in an awkward situation. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think it's a deal breaker, but it's a little bit like...
Leading to my next question. Right. What is your one deal breaker?
Oh, that's good. Racist, misogynistic, self-hating, homophobic, jokes or quips or that's it. That's done.
Yeah.
I'm not here for that. No room, no time.
Nice. That's a good, good one. What turns you on?
My God. I guess, like, kindness? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I feel like such a wimp.
No, that's a good one. That is not a wimpy thing.
Like,
I think
for example, I was on
a
kind of date, not date, you know.
You were kind of dating
2017,
somebody.
Yeah. And we got tacos.
Mm-hmm.
We like had a couple drinks and I was like, I'm like going to get drunk. So I want to have dinner. I didn't have dinner. So we went to a taco truck. And the guy was like not really hungry, and then this homeless man came up to us and was like, I really want to rap for you, like I want money, but I don't want you to just give me the money, I want to rap for it. And so we were like, okay. So like he rapped, and I could tell from the interaction that my date or the guy I was with was having with this guy, he like really listened to him. Mm-hmm. He treated him like a human. I think a lot of people treat homeless people like as not human. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was a huge turn on. I was like, I learned something about you.
Totally.
In this, and it wasn't like a test.
Yeah.
But I learned something about this guy and how he respects other humans.
Mm-hmm. Kindness is a very strong quality.
Yeah. And I was like, I am oiled and ready for that.
Yes. Tell us one of your strengths and one of your weaknesses in relationships and dating.
My strength is I'm really good at finding places to eat.
Nice.
That are good.
So you have to make some suggestions for me after.
Yes. And then my weakness would be, like I said before, the worrying about being liked, you know? And so sometimes I don't see the other person because I'm like, I want them to like me, I want them to like me. And they don't even think like, wait, do I even like them? You know?
Yeah.
I would say that's my weakness.
And last question, besides I love you, what three words would you want your partner to tell you?
Maybe like, you're so talented.
Yes. Well, you are so talented. I mean,
I feel so needy now.
No,
I feel like my answer should have been funnier.
No,
and more sexual.
You gave the honest answers. And that's what everybody does. And that's what we want. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And you are very talented. And how can people find you on social?
I'm in love with you now. That you said that. No,
you.
I'm kidding. I am on Facebook. And on Twitter at Amin El Gamal, AminElGamal. And on Instagram at Feisty Pharaoh, which, as we said, two notoriously difficult words to spell. Feisty, FEISTY. It's not I before E, as it usually is. And Pharaoh, PHARAOH.
Nice. And you are going to be on Prison Break on April. Well, it premieres April 4th.
Yes.
You're going to be on
episode
2. My first
episode is on, I think, the 11th, that would be.
Right. So, guys, tune in. Watch Amin. Now you know everything about him.
And you're going to be like, wait, what? That guy is the guy we were listening to?
It's amazing. You transform in such an awesome way. I'm so excited to see it.
The magic of acting.
Right? Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Natasha. This was really great. I learned a lot about myself. Actually, like you do on a date.
Aww.
And yeah, it was very stimulating and thought-provoking.
Yay. Well, you're welcome back here anytime.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to see you. So thank you so much. And hey, guys, follow us on socials. We're also there, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Kinda Dating. And remember I told you some of these articles will also be up. And Kinda Dating is presented by Meltdown Comics. Come visit us at 7522 Sunset Boulevard here in LA. Thank you for downloading this episode. Please take a few minutes and review us on iTunes. I'll read it out on the show. And download the rest of our shows. And also, I love hearing your dating stories and your thoughts, so please email them to me at kindadating@gmail.com. And finally, I know it seems tough out there, but just try. Till next time.
That was awesome.
The show is produced by myself and Mason Booker, who's also the audio engineer. Our associate producer is Aisha Holden. Opening music composed by Joe Lorenzetti, and our logo and graphics are by Jenna Yannick and K. Daniel Ellis.